B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Final hour of Gasper Murray here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and very Patriot-centric for most of the show today. We'll touch on the Celtics coming up in just about 10, 15 minutes or so. As I mentioned in the headlines there at the top of the hour, we do have the Notre Dame broadcast of unbeaten number two, Notre Dame visiting BC today at 3:30 here on the
big
Sports
game,
Hub.
Big game.
Yes, and it's the one time every few years where I actually root for Notre Dame. I mean, it's two of my most hated establishments in all of sports, and it pains me to have to root for Notre Dame, but I hate BC so much that it's the one time I actually root for Notre Dame. So go ND today, and you can catch the Notre Dame broadcast here on Sports Hub at 3:30. I'll just never, ever, 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 ever root for BC.
Are you bummed that that wasn't a noon kickoff?
Yes. Let's go to more of your Patriots calls before we move on to the Celtics. Ed in the car, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello.
Hey, guys. You know, one thing I wanted to mention was, you know, Kraft has had 25 years of Bill and Bill, and he had the Bobby Greer era in the middle. He's had questionable ownership of the soccer team. And I think 2017 was, you know, I agree with him back in time because I don't think Jimmy was going to be the guy ever. But I think the mistake was that he didn't go to Bill and say, Bill, I'm still running a business here. And I'm going to sign Tom to a four-year contract. That's four years of playoff performances. And, you know, I want you to get on the program. Because I think, you know, if you're running an organization, you're going to think beyond just Brady and beyond just Bill. And if Bill didn't want to come along for that, then Bill had the option to move on. This whole thing that it always you have to keep Bill forever. You know, it all ended bad for Landry, Gibbs, Shula, even Bill Walsh at Stanford. You know, this unending trust with Belichick. I mean, the Kraft might have to make some bold decisions in the last couple of years. You could say if you were a Garoppolo guy, they didn't back the right guy, or if you were a Brady guy, then they backed the wrong guy the second time. So they made two mistakes. What are they going to do in the third act? Because if I'm them right now and I'm looking out and saying, looking at this AFC East, you know, they're going to have to get aggressive with the checkbook, and they're going to have to get aggressive as an organization. And Bob's getting old. You know, they're going to be passing the franchise on to his son. I think Patriots fans should be concerned because, listen, I go back to the 80s and 90s, and, you know, I worry about this ownership if they don't have the right people running it.
And, Ed, it's I get your point, but if you do go back to that time, you also remember that Robert Kraft got essentially labeled a meddling owner by Bill Parcells. And that is why you would never see him 4 years ago go to Bill Belichick and say, this is what you're going to do, period, end of story.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think that's, you see the residual after effect of they should let you shop for the groceries, right? Like that's what happened there. So it was never going to. You know, I would like a little bit more checks and balances for Bill Belichick. I would, especially when it comes to draft day. But that ship has sailed.
No, I would agree with you on that. And I think, you know, there has to be a little bit more of a plan. You mentioned this too. Like, what was the plan? And I said this before. People were saying this is the plan. I was like, there is no plan. They're just throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. And it's kind of been this way at certain positions for a couple of years, and nobody's really called them on it. Like wide receiver, you know, Josh Gordon, bringing in Antonio Brown. There was no plan. It was just throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And you can get away with that at certain positions. You can't get away with that at quarterback. You know, you either needed to be committed to Stidham, you needed to be more aggressive in terms of getting another quarterback. You can talk about being hamstrung by the salary cap. I understand that, but you're also the same guy that said, you know, in 2013, we all know salary cap space can be maneuvered in a variety of ways. So which one is it? So I just feel like there wasn't really a great long-term plan here. And then if you're going to bring in Cam Newton, you have to surround him with the talent that enables him to be successful, which means you have to draft a little better. You have to get more out of N'Keal Harry. You have to be in a position where there are weapons around him. So I think that, you know, the plan here, which falls back to Belichick, has been one that's very difficult to execute. That being said, I never underestimate how poorly run the rest of the teams in this division are and just their penchant for stubbing their own toes. And this is where Belichick's always right. He always says more games in the NFL are lost than won. And when I look at their schedule, Jim, I know you don't like the path. It's not rooted in faith in the Patriots as much as it is lack of faith in the rest of the AFC.
Evan in Shirley. Ooh, kinky. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Hi.
You're so juvenile.
Go ahead, Evan.
Hi.
Evan?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Now we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, now we got you.
Okay. Well, I think the Patriots should probably – they could go after Ian Book out of Notre Dame. I know you hate Notre Dame, but – Ian Book, I think, would be a good Patriot right now.
Where do you know? Do you follow the draft enough, or at least these prognosticators, where he'd be slotted? I mean, is he like where? What
third,
round?
Third
would he...
day.
Third
yeah,
day.
I would agree with that. I don't think Ian Book's much. I don't. You know, I think he's a nice college quarterback. I would not want to hitch my wagon to him.
All right, listen. This isn't going to be like an anti Notre Dame screed or anything like that. It just comes down to like so. It said on the call screener, just draft a project quarterback in later rounds.
Yeah.
In the last 20 years. No quarterback drafted after the third round, aside from Tom Brady, has played in a Super Bowl. None. Brady, not just won a Super Bowl, took his team there to lose. We're not drafting project quarterbacks. If you want to turn this ship around and have this team have another dynasty or at least be a viable product again going forward, sustainability, winning, 10-6, 11-5, playoff runs, yay, that kind of thing, what we all love here, what we've loved, the winning over the last 20 years, you got to draft a quarterback high. You got to take him high. You should have lost that game to the Jets. She had a better chance of actually getting one of these top three quarterbacks, but now, poof, that's gone. Had to win that. Yay, beat the Jets. You got to draft one in the first round. You got to draft one in the first round, and maybe that's later in the first round. Like, hey, it's worked out for the Ravens with Lamar Jackson so far. We're not doing project quarterbacks. You're not going to find another lucky scratch ticket like you did with Tom Brady in the sixth round. That was the anomaly. That was almost like it's a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. That's not going to happen. No more project quarterbacks. No more project quarterbacks. First round, second round, that's it. That's where you're going to find them. Maybe the third. Maybe you get lucky in the third like Russell Wilson. That's it. That's it. That's it.
So, that's your PSA.
Well, yeah.
Dak Prescott was a fourth round pick, but you're right. He hasn't been in the Super Bowl. So last 20 years, so does that not include Kurt Warner?
No, because that's before the 20 years. That's... Oh, that would have been 01. Yeah, the hell with you. yeah, stump me on Kurt Warner. But you get my point. Tom and Nashua, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, what's up?
I just wanted to say, I was born in 1960, the year the Patriots were established. I recall growing up with the Boston Patriots on the radio and watching the Giants on TV. Because we couldn't get any TV games. But my point is, it was a long 40 years to the year 2000, and finally the Patriots got the right ownership in Robert Kraft. He brings in Parcells, and all of a sudden Bledsoe's hurt, and Tom Brady steps in. I just think the marriage of these three elements all coming together just gave us a fantastic 18-year run that I thought I would never see. And, you know, we're having a down year, but I'm still okay. It's been great.
Oh, Tom, no doubt. I never thought in my lifetime that I was going to see this. And, in fact, like that last Pete Carroll year, I was like, I can't do this. Like, this team's never going to do anything. I can't watch Drew Bledsoe anymore. You got Bill Belichick. You got the lucky scratch ticket that was Tom Brady, because that's what it was, you know. Felger was yelling about this week. So you mean to tell me over the last 20 years, it really was just like, you know, Bill got lucky. He hit the lottery with Tom Brady. He was just nothing more than a scratch ticket. Yes, that's what I think it was. You know, and Bill's a phenomenal coach, and I think no one can polish a turd like him. He'll take your Kyle Van Noy and polish that guy up, have him be a successful player, and go get that guy paid. Nobody better than that. But overall, no, you really just got lucky with the quarterback. That's it. That's
I mean, the quarterback, it makes a huge difference. There's no question about it. I mean, again, I think Bill's brilliant. And I think there's some truth to what you're saying here in terms of, you know, what he's able to do. And I thought he did a great job in Cleveland. Now, not as great a job as the mythology of Cleveland 95, but a great job in Cleveland of turning that thing around, getting them to the playoffs. They beat the Patriots in the playoffs in 94. But there's like a ceiling there. And that's my point. Like, coaching can only take you so far. And then to go to the level the Patriots have been at, where you're going to 9 Super Bowls and you're winning 6 and you're in the playoffs every year and you're winning 11 straight division titles, you need to have a really special player and a really special partnership. And they had both of that, special player Brady, special partnership Brady and Belichick. And the interesting thing to me is I'm not sure Bill ever looked at it as a partnership. And I feel like the last couple of years of Brady's tenure here, he really needed to look at it more like a partnership than, you know, I'm the coach, you're the player all the time.
I want to squeeze in this call before we go to break here. Okay. Stephen in Tewksbury, go ahead. You're next.
Hey, guys. I want to wish you guys a early happy Thanksgiving because I'll be out of town next weekend and I won't be able to call in.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Dave. How you been doing? All right?
Yeah, hanging in there, buddy.
Yeah, me too.
Hanging in there. And just wondering, I spoke about a month and a half ago and said that the Bull Gang had gone in, and I thought they may start to build ice. They had gone in there to replace all the seats in the lower bowl.
Yeah.
So now I'm hearing that there's a possibility that the season is going to start in January, but that they're going to have hub places, kind of like in the Stanley Cup. So it looks like we may not be back into action until playoff time in April.
Yeah, because you had said, too, at the time you called that you had heard that, what, they would have fans in the suites, like a limited number of fans in those areas?
Yes. They were talking maybe 25 to 50%. So, you know, suites usually hold 18 to 22 people. So, you know, 50% of that would be okay. But how many they're going to... If they're going to open them all, I don't know that.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what they were going to do with the seating. But
I don't know, Steve.
Hang in there.
Yeah, you too, man. Good to hear from you, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Love Steve. Works over the garden, and he's obviously been affected by the fact that the shutdowns. Would like to see the fans back. I don't feel great about how things are trending. It's lockdown city again, and I'm sure it's all a matter of time before it happens again here. Great times.
Did you see that? I was watching that Titans-Colts game, and I was stunned at how many fans it looked like were in the stands.
Yeah, I mean, some of these places, I think they were celebrating in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. They're like, hey, we got
30,000.
30,000 in here. It's like, you might not want to report that as loudly as you're reporting it. People get real mad.
Well, you're not going to stop Jarrah.
Yeah, no, you're definitely. I'll get them in. Trust me, I'll get it in no matter how. Just keep them liquored up. Keep putting them all in. I don't know, Steve. I hope for the best. I hope that it's going to be at the Garden. Believe me, I do. I didn't think we'd be going back to like March, April again, but it's really got that dark feel.
Yeah, these are dark, sudden, desolate it? Times.
Yep, and strap in for 4 months of cold and inside misery. It's it's a great feel right now.
In January, you'll be able to watch Patriots playoff football.
Oh, God. Here comes the path. All right. did you know, though, as we're talking about the Garden just for a moment, that the Celtics, the NBA draft is this week. NBA
Wednesday.
Free agency starts this week. I want to touch on that because there's a lot of Celtics rumors bubbling.
Yeah.
We'll get some thoughts on that. We'll get to more of your Patriots phone calls. See a lot of you still hanging. We'll get to all that coming up next. Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I wouldn't say it's more important. I think that we always look all the way up until we make the pick, all the possibilities that exist. We talk to every team in the draft, and we come up with lots of different ideas of trades that we want to make. But I don't, you know, like, you got to do good deals. I say that all the time. It's not a matter about just making deals. They're important to make a deal. It's not ideal if we add 4 rookies to the team that we currently have, if that's what you're referring.
I got a house full of tchotchkes and cat pee and cat crap. Porter Danny Danny Ainge.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Have you ever watched that show?
Oh, it's terrifying.
Some of them are absolutely horrific.
Oh, it's so bad. And the people, they cannot part with like the most basic things. They're like, no, I've had that roll of paper towels since 1985.
That's got sentimental value to me. You can't throw that away. Like, it's getting thrown out, Nana. Shut up. There was one great one, though, back in the day where there was, like, this is, like, going back, like, 14, 15 years ago when that show first came on A&E. There was an old lady that used to, like, she would harness herself with a rope that she'd tie to the chair because she was afraid if she fell off the chair, all the junk would swallow her in her
oh,
office.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually pretty smart. It's like, if you're that smart, lady, you think you could figure out what to get rid of?
And that's what Danny Ainge has become. He's had to tie himself to the chair. So if he, in case he falls off into like all the draft picks that he's stashed up in these terrible picks that are up with the main Red Claws.
In case he falls off into Fab Mello or J.R. Giddens.
Yeah, you can't get rid of J.R. Giddens. I love him. He's got sentimental value to me. And he's just a weird hoarder now. And so they have these stupid three picks, 14, 26, 30, that I guess I suppose you could use. Come Wednesday night at the NBA draft. So the NBA draft coming up Wednesday, free agency starts Friday night, right? Next week?
Yeah, it starts the 20th.
Yeah, so
that's a Friday.
There's
right?
rumors that, you know, they could be in on Drew Holiday, the guard with the New Orleans Pelicans. They could be shipping Gordon Hayward out. Maybe there's a trade going on between him and Indiana for Miles Turner. There's all kinds of rumors up bubbling with the Celtics. Do you think he hangs on to these picks? Do you think he actually finally trades some of them away? Does he hoard again? What do you think this week is going to be like coming up for the Celtics?
Well, I mean, you know, Danny had another quote from that press conference where he basically talked about he doesn't feel like they're overvaluing their players.
Oh, it's Celtics as Celtics gets right there.
But I do feel like they've overvalued the draft picks.
You think?
You know, 30 is Milwaukee, 26 is their own, and 14, this is where I want to hear, Chris, you were right, because I called last year at the draft lottery when Memphis moved up. I was like, this is a disaster for the Celtics. They're going to get Ja Morant. It's going to completely devalue this pick, a la the Sacramento pick, and that's exactly what happened. They're at number 14, and word on the street is they're working feverishly to move up, packaging these three picks, and as I've said a million times, this isn't the NFL. It's not about quantity of picks. It doesn't matter. If some team wants Tyrese Halliburton and they feel like they're going to get him by staying at seven, they don't care about your three draft picks. They don't care. So they're in a tough spot. I don't know what they can do with these picks. You know, I kind of, at this point, I want them to deal them, but I wouldn't mind if they hung around at, say, 14 and drafted somebody like Aaron Nesmith out of Vanderbilt, a guy who could get some shooting, or Tyrell Terry. I'd like to see them draft some shooting and then maybe try and offload the other picks as, like, sweeteners in a deal. But I don't know what B-Rob's hearing, what he's thinking. The other thing I'll say before we get to B-Rob quickly is, I am rooting like heck to will this Miles Turner trade I've been talking about for 2 years into reality, and I'm starting to get excited that it seems like maybe the Celtics are coming around on moving on and getting Miles Turner and sort of redistributing the roster, you know, redistributing the talent on the roster so it's not so wing guard heavy.
And for that to happen, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, is usually here producing the show.
Gordon, who's not a Miles Turner fan.
Gordon Hayward, though, would have to opt in, correct?
Correct, or you'd have to arrange a sign and trade with him, would be like to make the money work there. Yeah,
but wasn't Kemba technically a sign and trade?
Yeah, they did. I mean, Rozier for Kemba.
Yeah, yeah, it can be done.
Oh, definitely.
Where are you on Drew Holiday? Would you want to see him come here?
I mean, it's better if Hayward's out, then yeah, because then you'd get something in place of Hayward. So you would maybe rearrange like a three team trade where you get Holiday, Hayward goes to Indiana, and then New Orleans gets draft picks and other stuff. So something like that, I could, you know, you definitely want to go something like that. But in general, is he the guy that puts you over the top? I don't think so. Like, he is
better defender,
you know, decent jump shooter, like I'd say a better version of Marcus Smart, to be perfectly honest. He can shoot, he can distribute. He's not going to be taking away shots from Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, but at the same time, he's 30, he's only made the All-Star game once, and I mean, I guess the best thing about him, he'd be ready to win. He'd be motivated to contend.
So what's a realistic way, what's a realistic like scenario that we're going to see for Danny and the Celtics here over the next week? Does anything happen at all, or is it more Horton?
I don't think of any year, I mean, I see this every year, and then they take all the picks, so I hate, but I think this is the year where the hoarding actually backfires, because they have like 12 guys already under contract.
Jim. Yeah.
So it's like there's literally out of room, so whether you're going to consolidate picks, whether you're going to trade those picks for veterans, And then the Gordon Hayward wild card, what is his future? Does he want to stay? Does he want to go? Like, you know, there's obviously been plenty of rumors there, but something, I think it's going to be a busy week and it could go in any sort of direction.
Do you think, B-Rob, that any of these teams, I'm just looking at this, you know, maybe saying around 9 with the Wizards, 10 is Phoenix, 11 is San Antonio, 12 Sacramento, 13 the Pelicans, that any of these teams would be willing to move back a few spots? You know, you could package either all 3 picks or just package 26 and move up or down if there's a guy like a Devin Vassell that you like, or if there's someone you want to move up for specifically, because I would wholeheartedly endorse that. I just don't know if they can do it. So have you heard anything in the league about any of these other teams that maybe are, you know, would want some young cheap players and have roster room for them being willing to slide back?
Yeah, and I think that's a key point, Chris, in terms of like teams that want the young guys, because there's a lot of the teams like the Hawks at number 6, they don't. They want to win now and they already have plenty of young guys. But I think the team to watch there is the Pistons at 7.
Okay.
They have Blake Griffin and like nothing else on that team right now. I think they have like 6 or 7 guys signed. So I think that would, if they do move up, that's a spot where you give them 14, 26, 30, and then maybe you either take the guy at 7 or maybe you move that for a bigger name like Holiday.
Brian in Pembroke on Danny Ainge and these 3 picks. What do you think he's going to do with them, Brian?
Well, I think he's kind of backed himself into a corner leverage-wise because I think the other GMs know he can't possibly take all 3.
Yes.
So they can just be like, yeah, you know, we'll take your 3 picks. You can't possibly use all of them. Almost have no value at this point.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that.
they're distressed assets. I mean, that's what they are. They're distressed assets. I mean, they really have kind of backed themselves into a corner on these picks. I mean, I really wish they had gotten Tyler Hero last year. That was such a bad break. It would have sort of salvaged the Sacramento pick. I do like Romeo Langford, but I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be an all-star type of player or anything like that. I'm not sure. Let me just be honest. I don't think he'll ever be as good as Tyler Hero. So when you look at this draft and what they're going to do, I mean, they've had some bad luck here, but also, to your point, they hoard these picks.
How dare you say that? I need my Romeo Langford. Don't you take him from me, you slick-talking counselor. And don't you take my Franklin Mint collector plate of John Wayne, too. I've had that for 30 years. You can't throw that away.
Like that, he's a weird hoarder now. He has to tie himself with the rope to the chair in case he falls into all those useless picks.
Don't take my Carson Edwards.
Don't you take Carson Edwards from me. That's a valuable. I paid $29.99 for that on the TV. You can't take my picks from me.
He's going to use them all. We're going to talk ourselves blue.
No.
Chris?
He can't.
Chris?
They don't have the room.
I'll find the room. Don't you worry. I can stash them. Don't you worry, Mr. You slick-talking counselor man. You can't take my stuff from me.
Unless there's some COVID rule where they don't even... B-Rob, am I wrong? They don't even have the room
there's
for
not
these
the spots,
guys.
But you guys remember the year they had 8 picks? I think it was 2016. They did use 6 of them.
They
used 6 of 8. So.
Was that when they drafted my guy Marcus Thornton?
I need
yes.
these. Yes, that's like my commemorative plates. I brought from the Franklin Mint. Don't you take those from me.
They're all like, they're just all like poor hicks that love their junk, and God forbid you throw it away from them. So the show's sad, but early on it was kind of funny in a sick way, and that's what Danny Ainge has become. So we're going to talk ourselves, we're blue in the face until Wednesday night, and then come Thursday, we're going to all be sitting here. Felgram has 2 o'clock. I can't believe he used to have some picks. He's a weird hoarder now.
He literally can't use the picks. He has to give them away or, like, roll them forward. He can't use them all.
I'll bury him in the backyard. Don't take him from me. Don't you dare try to take my picks.
A&E hoarders. All right, got a couple of segments to go. We'll run through as many phone calls as possible before we get to 5 questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports. Next.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah,
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports. Before we get back to your calls,
you had another question for B-Rob, Boston Sports Journal.
Yes, I did.
As it pertains to the Patriots, Chris, go ahead.
The Celtics, actually. I just was curious, B-Rob, is there anybody that you're hearing them connected to, any particular names that you're hearing them connected to, particularly with that 14th pick, whether it's Onyeka Ngakoue or Devin Vassell or somebody that maybe they could slide up for a little bit?
Yeah, I think Vassell is the latest one I heard in terms of someone who's a 3-and-D guy that could come in and potentially help right away. And again, if you're conceivably losing Hayward this offseason, I think you're going to need some extra depth there on that standpoint. So it wouldn't surprise me if they stand pat there. That's the kind of guy they'll be looking for.
Is there a guy you like that you think would be a good fit for the draft with any of those three picks, at least the 14th at least?
Just give me a shooter, Jim. This bench is a solid bench. Like, they performed without Hayward in the postseason, but there is no, Carson Edwards is the hope to be that guy. That hasn't panned out. So this is the one thing this draft's supposed to have a lot of good 3-point shooters on the wing. So whether you get that guy at 14 or later at one, if you use 26 or 30, just get someone that can keep defenses honest, I think.
That's right. I like how you think there, B-Rob. I got all these picks. I can find a shooter. Just give me a chance. I got three of them. I'll find one. I'm going to use them. I'm going to find a place to store them just like I can with my commemorative plates and my gold spoon with John Wayne's autograph on it. It's not real. You can't take it from me. All just weird people that have spent so much money on junk. Just
it's like shooter. I have a shot glass right here.
Yeah. It's making me so nervous.
Hey, you'll live. We're throwing this junk out. Be happy you don't only burn the house down with you in it. Weirdo.
You're terrible.
I know. I should be more compassionate. Let me get it out of the way now because I'm sure the complaint email's already being drafted now. I'm sorry. I made fun of the weird hoarders.
It's a mental illness.
Yes, right. Riley in North Attleboro on the Patriots. Go ahead, Riley.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good. What's up, Riley?
Just wanted to touch on a couple of things with the Patriots. You guys got into the Celtics right quick, and I had some thoughts about them, too. But
go ahead.
Yeah, I'll go with my Patriots first. Gasper hit on it earlier, and it dealt with, surrounding Cam Newton with weapons. And I've been looking at, over the years, Belichick refused to go in that draft. And when they, like this past draft, there was plenty of wide receivers. He wouldn't touch any. He goes and gets two tight ends who aren't even playing. And when you're going to bring someone with Cam's ability and you want to try to get him in here, hopefully to succeed, because to me it seemed like you set him up to fail because the kid's trying to take on everything himself. And not having, that's part of the reason why Brady left. He didn't surround him with the weapons. He got tired of it. I don't blame him. And now you got Cam sitting right here in the same situation, trying to learn the system, trying to get these guys to respond to him. And it's like you're setting the guy up to fail. We won't get no deep weapons. He refused to get a quarterback, okay? But there was plenty of them out there. He wouldn't touch none of them.
I'll give you this, Riley. So, obviously, he had a lot of success with the Carolina Panthers when he had a really good tight end in Greg Olsen, right? Yeah. So, he should have at least done a better job. The Patriots should have done a better job of trying to find a veteran tight end in case these two tight ends that they drafted didn't work out, which they didn't. So, you're right there. Like, it's a part of Brady's frustration, too, but he could have used some real help there.
Oh yeah, and like I said, they said this particular draft was one of the deepest when it comes to wide receivers and what have you. Mm-hmm. And some of them that are actually playing now, they're doing very well.
CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. And it's like, why wouldn't you grab one of them? You wouldn't grab one. He just kept like Miami of Danny Age keeps hoarding and passing things down. It's like you're supposed to be a defensive guru, but yet we don't have a pass rush. Give me a break. Okay, you got a quarterback. You finally bring an athletic quarterback in the system. Okay, the guy was hungry. He's motivated. He's got to come here and learn the system. You come in here and he has no weapons, and he's taking on the responsibility of it. And, when you hear him on his press conferences, he's putting it all on himself because that's a professional way to do it. But at the same time, that look you see on his face is like, I'm fighting a losing battle here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and he wants to win. They robbed him of that first Super Bowl, in my opinion. Okay, and because they wanted Peyton Manning to get it. Okay, and after that, he seemed like he just went faded out.
I'm gonna let you go on that, Riley. He didn't dive on the ball. It wasn't good performance in that Super Bowl. He was kind of a front runner, and that team was in 2015.
He didn't deserve to win that Super Bowl.
Yeah, that defense was legit. Peyton Manning was nothing more than a sidecar that year, but that defense was legit. The right team won that game. Justin in Shrewsbury, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. So a lot of the talk has been about the Patriots trying to get a quarterback like Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or the kid Lance from North Dakota. But, like, realistically, we're probably not going to have a shot at any of them. Mm-hmm. So there's a quarterback that we probably get, like, late first round, early second, Sam Ellinger from Texas. He has, like, a cannon. He plays in the Big 12, so, like, they're always trying to score points. He's pretty coachable. I feel like Belichick would like that, and he also can, like, run the ball. He's pretty big, and that would be something that, like, McDaniels would like. So just want to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
Thanks. You got any intel on him, Gasper?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of his game. I just don't think he's sophisticated enough a passer. I think he's kind of like poor man's Tebow at the college level. I'm not a huge fan of his game. I don't think it will translate to the NFL level. But look, I've been wrong before. I could be wrong again. He's a very tough runner. I could see him maybe in some sort of, like, he's not as good an athlete as Taysom Hill, but in some sort of Taysom Hill type of role. But I still think he's gritty. He's a college winner. I just don't know if he's sophisticated enough, accurate enough as a passer to make it in the NFL.
Poor man's Tebow. Ooh, that's nothing you want any part of.
Yeah, just I'm not a fan of his game.
John and Worcester, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I also want to talk about the Patriots and Belichick and his drafting, which actually kind of disproves what I think it was Casper who said that we overrate Belichick as a coach. He's so terrible at drafting. This is the product of why the team is so bad this year. I was watching Colin Cowherd, and he said he had a source inside the Patriots who told him that Nick Caserio, during the season, he's supposedly the director of player personnel, does all the scouting. And then, you know, in the last few years, they've been having, you know, like debates and arguments over who to take. But, you know, Bill has the last word. But now it's come to the point where Caserio wants to leave because come January, after he does all his scouting, Caserio, and has all the players and who he thinks are the best players, Belichick just takes the paperwork from him and, you know, shoos him away. And he just sits in the draft room himself and does the draft.
Nick's in the draft room. But, yeah, I mean, we've heard this before, that Bill overrides the scouts and the scouting reports, and he goes with his gut, and he has, you know, the plenipotentiary power there. I mean, he's, you know, the buck stops with Bill, except for when it comes to COVID opt-outs and the salary cap and not being able to practice and when you raise his drafting over the last 6 years. But otherwise, the buck stops with Bill.
Troy on the Celtics. You're next here on Gasper Murray. Troy.
Hi, hello. Guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Troy.
I just wanted to make a quick comment to Jasper. You're saying we can't use these picks?
Yeah, no, you don't have roster space for these guys.
Well right
Mike
now,
Casper or Jasper?
Yeah, open.
Which one is it?
I let him go. Can't get his name right.
Casper.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's go.
Well, it's something like that.
Joe in Vermont with a Patriots thought. Go ahead, Joe.
Wait, so Gasper.
Oh, right.
Why can't they just cut three pieces of garbage and draft three picks? Anyway, what I wanted to ask you guys is, because I've been listening to you guys talk about Belichick's horrid drafting over the last 5 years for like 3-4 weeks now. So I heard Bill say something along the lines of, I do what's best for the team. Really? Why don't you hire a GM? So I was wondering what you guys think it would take for Kraft to either let Bill go as the GM or let Bill go, period. And I'd love to listen to it off the air.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're a long way away from that, you know, and I think Kraft sort of made his choice to some degree by backing Belichick and sort of the Brady Belichick thing at the end of the day, because they felt he had more longevity in there. People talk about sort of Brady burning them after they moved on from Garoppolo, and you read the Jeff Benedict book and sort of asking out and then leaving and whatever. I mean, talk about being burned. You'd be burned big time if Bill moved on or you moved on from him. They're invested, and I think there's still a large portion of the fan base that has a great deal of unwavering faith in Bill. And just from a business standpoint, I don't think you can move on from him after one bad season. I also just don't think it's good football. I mean, are you going to really find a better coach?
No. No, you get, like, regardless, even if you just want to say because of the pandemic, you get a mulligan.
Yeah.
But say he has another terrible draft.
Yes.
When does the clock start ticking?
I think it would have to be 3 or 4 down years before you start, you know, saying we're going to strip. Because I think if you try and step in and say we're going to take something from you.
How much longer do you think he wants to go? He's what, he's 69?
I think, what's he, 68? He's born in 52.
Okay.
April 52. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, for a while he was saying the Marv Levy thing. But then, remember, weren't we reading all these things fairly recently or within the last year? It's like, you know, he's re-energized. You know, he's going to keep doing this. Back in the day, he said the Marv Levy thing, like, you won't see me out there when I'm 70 years old. But he's kind of reneged on that. I thought he had all this juice. Remember, like, Schefter and these people were like, oh, he's been reinvigorated by the idea of trying to put it together without Brady.
Yeah.
What happened to that?
Yeah, no, I think you'll get him to maybe 74-ish. And I just think that passing Don Shula thing, I think, is very important to him. So until that happens, he's going to be sticking around. Yeah. Let's go to Robin in Weymouth on Bill Belichick. Go ahead, Robin.
Hi, guys. Ooh, excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, no
I love you guys. I listen every week. And so just wanted to comment about Belichick and drafting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. What people, I think, forget is the fact that he had to be talked into drafting Brady at the time that he did. So that was 20-plus years ago. Now, where he's basically drafting on spite, and he doesn't listen to anyone, Brady would never be drafted now. Like, so people saying, you know, that it could happen again. No, it wouldn't, because he doesn't listen to anyone else, and he's drafting purely on spite at this point.
Thanks, Robin. He was a lucky scratch ticket.
He was, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, in the history of almost any great organization, right, there's a little bit of luck involved. That always happens. The Red Sox were lucky when they got David Ortiz. It wasn't part of some master plan. It happens, but I don't know why people are still so reluctant to admit it. And in a really sort of macabre, weird kind of way, you know, one of the things that has helped Belichick's legacy, and I don't think he wanted it, I know he didn't want this to happen, but the death of Dick Rabine, because Rabine was the guy that banged the table for Brady, and now he's not around to sort of dispel some of these myths and to tell the truth. That's and that true. It was like Tim, even if you read the Dynasty book, I'm like, I've never heard this version that's in this book, that like Bill was like, ooh, why isn't Brady being drafted? We have to get, the version I always heard was basically it was like, hey, Dick, which guy do you want? It's up to you, Rattay or Brady. And Rabine was like, I really want Brady. And Bill was kind of like, eh, we're fine. You can have him. You know what I mean? I never heard this version that's in that Dynasty book where it's like Bill's watching as the picks roll by and wondering why nobody's taking Tom Brady. Right. The kid is a consummate winner. What could it be? Is there a red flag that we're missing? I don't know. I'll talk to my scouts. I think we should take him. I believe in this kid. I've never heard that version until I read the book.
All right. With that, B-Rob, hit it.
Chris Gasper of Channel 5.
It's Gasper.
I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five! One, two, three, four, five!
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, question number one, Chris. What is your paranoia level? One would be a shrug. 10 is full on, I can't deal with this. So what's your paranoia level of shutdown two? This time it's personal.
I'd say it's about an 8.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
It's happening. I mean, I understand why it's going to happen. I'm not going to sort of go there kicking and screaming like you, but I'm pretty bummed out, and I just sort of feel like I already missed the window to do anything.
Yeah, and it's the fact that it's going to be like cold and dreary and miserable for what's going to feel like 5 months. So, you know, it's... I don't think a lot of people are in a really good headspace right now because, it is trending poorly. With that, question number two.
Yeah.
Chris, if in the near future getting on a plane or booking a hotel room means proof of vaccination, how does that make you feel?
I mean, I feel like that's a little like Minority Report-ish. That's a little weird. I'm not really down for that. I disagree with that. I don't think we should go to that point.
Well, the reason I ask is because Ticketmaster this week announced, they let you know, they plan on checking your vaccine status for concerts via an app. And I don't know how they're going to be able to illegally swing that. I don't know. That a company like that big is saying that this is what we want to do. I think that's so creepy. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
to require people to show proof of a COVID vaccine, you shouldn't have to reveal private health information.
Isn't that like a HIPAA violation?
You would think, but, you know, everything's all so fluid now. That was the one I was like, oh, all right, well, I guess I never go to shows again, or maybe I'll just walk to the next vacation, because that one really rubs me the wrong way. All right, on a lighter note, question number three.
Okay.
Yesterday marked the first Friday the 13th since March. That's the day the pandemic shut down everything. So have you had a bad experience on a Friday the 13th besides that one?
Not that I can think of, to be. I mean, I'm sure I did, but I mean, not that I can think of off the top of my head. I wouldn't even know.
Question number four. Who do you think is the best game show host of all time?
Oof. I'm going to go with Bob Barker.
Oh, Bob Barker was good, too, with that thin microphone. That
yes,
he
I love that
too.
Microphone. He was good. And,
get your pet spayed and neutered at the end. Always
yeah,
like
and he
that
was just
kind
of like Brady, where he had like a very long prime. Like, you're like, this guy should be done, but nah, he's still at the top of his game.
We did lose Alex Trebek. I'm going to go with Alex Trebek, not
okay,
just because of the
fair.
Timing of it, but he was just always so smooth, kind of a subtle dick, which
yes,
I liked.
Yes, I agree.
But could get away with it with that Canadian charm. So I will go with Alex Trebek. And finally, Chris, what is the moment that you realized, wow, I'm old? Or has that moment not happened to you yet?
Oh, God. The moment I realized, wow, I'm old, there's, like, so many of them. I mean, probably any like, I'll tell you, like, I think it was probably when there was a, like, an NBA draft where the kids were drafted the year that I graduated high school. And I'm like, I could legitimately be this kid's dad. I think that was definitely one moment for me.
So it's exactly that for me, except it was last year's NFL draft when okay. Antoine Winfield, who went to Minnesota, ended up going to the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I'm like, Antoine Winfield Jr.? Like, Antoine Winfield just got drafted by the Bills. No, you old loser. That was like 20 years ago. And now that's happening more and more. So, like, you look at all the you know, some of the guys playing now, Alabama, Patrick Surtain Jr.
Asante Samuel Jr. of
yeah.
Florida State.
Yeah, Patrick Surtain, he was just playing. No, that was a long time ago now. You're just like everything's just fuzzy in the 2000s or 20 years ago, stupid.
There was
like,
do you remember this guy he played for the I was watching this game last night, Anthony Mitchell. He was a lineman for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
His son, Keaton, was playing last night for East Carolina. And I was like, Anthony Mitchell, I'm like, that guy still plays. He's like still in the league, right? And I'm like, oh no. How is this possible?
Frank Gore's kid is playing. In a Division III or Division II school.
Yeah,
and Frank
I saw
Gore
that.
Is still playing on the Jets.
Yeah, it's so strange. I
those
know.
Are the ones I'm like, oh God.
You know what's a real killer? Any NHL draft, when it's like, oh, yo, this is the class of this is the class of 01. These kids were born in like 01 or like
right.
2000. And I'm like, any NHL draft is a killer. And you're just like, oh, man. You're like, oh, look at that dude's mom. She's hot. Oh, wait, she's my age.
Right.
Like, you know.
Yeah, or like Luka Doncic's mom. Like, you're like my age. Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, drafts definitely.
That's where you
drafts
where you
do
feel
it. Or like I'd say like going to the beach. I feel old when I go to the beach and, you know. Just all the kids taking the selfies and just the whole deal.
Well, we're old now, Chris.
We're old. We are old.
All right, Chris, always a pleasure. You'll be on tomorrow for the pregame Patriots-Ravens. Yes. What time's that start? I always get screwed up.
We'll be on at 10, and I'll be bringing my hot Xennial takes.
10? No, it's a night game.
Oh, it's a night game. You're right. Sorry. 5.
Okay, all right. 5. Chris and Beadle tomorrow, 5 o'clock here on the Sports Hub. For Brian Robb, read his stuff, bostonsportsjournal.com. Coming up this week as the Celtics go into the draft and Hoarder Danny and free agency and all that stuff. B-Rob, thank you very much. I'll talk to you Monday. Felger and Maz, 2 o'clock. Coming up next, Ryan Johnson. Don't forget, 3:30, we got NDBC here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Enjoy your weekend. Bye.
Gasper and Murr. 98.5 the Sports Hub.
This hour of Gasper.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.